From Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. We've been reading this story of Jesus' transfiguration. This is admittedly a somewhat strange and confusing story. It's not the usual teaching or healing story that we're more used to when it comes to Jesus. Instead, we have Jesus taking Peter and James and John up a mountain. And then we're told that Jesus was transfigured among them, as though having somebody transfigured in front of you is something that happens often, so we should just know what that means. And then Jesus' clothes become dazzling white. And Elijah and Moses, these key figures from the Old Testament, from thousands of years ago, are standing there talking to Jesus. It's most definitely a moment of amazement and confusion for Peter and James and John. We know this by the way that Peter responds. Peter, in a classic kind of Peter move, sees all this and says, essentially, "Let's stay here and build some tents for Jesus and Moses and Elijah." Then the scripture tells us, he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Look, if anybody ever tries to tell you that scripture isn't true or that it doesn't apply to our lives today, just point them to that verse. Peter says something ridiculous because he's afraid. Peter's scared, and so he blurts out the first thing that comes to his mind. Peter is terrified. He's terrified that Jesus might stay here all dazzling white with Elijah and Moses, and that he might get sent back down the mountain alone with James and John. So maybe if he becomes busy building these tents, they won't notice that he's there, and he'll be able to stay with Jesus. Peter is scared that everything is going to change. After all, wouldn't you be scared if that was something that you had seen? Maybe following Jesus is going to be different now when they leave the mountain. Maybe Jesus is going to be different. Best just to say something, say anything, and just stay right here where we are. Now, while you might not try to go build some tents when you're afraid, most of us have a little bit of Peter in us when it comes to fear. No matter what you're afraid of, we all have these immediate reactions when it comes to fear. Maybe you, like Peter, just start talking and say whatever is on your mind. Maybe you have the opposite reaction and you get really quiet when you're afraid. Maybe you move a lot. Maybe you get still. Maybe you cry. Maybe you get angry. Maybe you work to distract yourself, not by building tents, but by putting your minds or your hands to another activity. You know how you react to fear, because we all face fear. Fear of failure, fear of change, fear of the future, fear of loss, fear of the past, fear of being alone, fear of being vulnerable, fear of commitment. The list could go on and on. You don't need me to tell you too much about the fears we face because we all face them. The question is not what makes us afraid, as much as it is, what do we do with our fear? Are there better reactions than the reaction of Peter and the reactions that we often have? Well, let's look how God responds to Peter's fear in this story. After Peter's outburst and plan to build tents, we're told that a cloud overshadows them and that a voice comes from heaven and says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." God claims Jesus as his beloved son, and then he tells Peter and James and John to listen to him. Now, if we were reading the Gospel of Mark straight through, and we were attentive readers, we might remember that God said something really similar about Jesus at his baptism, way back in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And now we get this very similar message again from God, except that this one is directed at Peter and James and John. Jesus is God's son. Jesus is beloved by God. They should listen to Jesus. This is the promise that God gives the disciples in the midst of their fear. They can listen to Jesus. Now, we often think of these words, "listen to him," as a commandment, which it is, but it's also a promise. When we're afraid, we aren't left with just the words we say. Can you imagine how bad this story would be if it just ended with Peter talking about building tents? When we're afraid, we aren't left with the words that we hear on TV or read on the internet. When we're afraid, we aren't left with the words that race in our mind about our fears. When we're afraid, we have the words of Jesus. When we're afraid, we can listen to Jesus. Because Jesus didn't stay on that mountaintop. He went back down with Peter and James and John to continue to live life with them and teach them, to give them more words of hope and peace and comfort to listen to. When we're afraid, we can listen to the words of Jesus, words of comfort and peace and hope and love. We are beloved children of God, and God doesn't leave us alone in our fear. Instead, we're given the promise that we can listen to Jesus. So we're going to take some time to do that, because this is something that takes practice. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw to mind something you're afraid of, or you find yourself worrying about. If it helps you to concentrate, you can close your eyes as we do this. Think about a part of life that causes you fear. Maybe it's a loss you fear. Maybe it's a change you fear. Maybe it's an unknown future that you fear. Maybe it's something from your past you find yourself still fearful of. Whatever it is, name it. Draw it to your mind. And now listen to Jesus. Listen to these words from Scripture. Listen to these promises of Jesus. From the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And again from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then finally, from the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid."